Greetings in the name of Christ, and welcome to Concord Matters, a show that seeks unity in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by His Word we may come to Christian unity through the study of the clear and concise teachings confessed in the Book of Concord. As Peter boldly confessed of Christ, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," we boldly confess the truth of the entirety of God's inerrant word, nothing more and nothing less, all for the sake of a clear conscience in Christ. I'm your host, Pastor Brady Finnern, District President of the Minnesota North District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you for joining us on Worldwide KFUO, Christ for you anytime, anywhere. Today we confess the scriptural truth of God the Father as confessed in Luther's Large Catechism in the first article. How easy is it for us, Luther addresses, to forget that all that we have is a gift from God, even that we don't see how He protects us from the devil. Each day His protection is around us, His guidance is there, and everything of our possessions are not mine, I earned them, but they are a gift from our Lord. Luther does a great job today, and I'm excited to be able to study this, of connecting the first article with the first commandment. Because if we fear, love, and trust in our possessions more than the Lord, that's an idol. And if we think that we're the ones that earn it all, then we have in essence, and we have, made ourselves our own God. So today, in Article 1, we say a lot of Lord have mercies. So let's dig in. So open up your Bible and open up your Book of Concord as we confess the truth. If you have any questions concerning our study of the Large Catechism, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org, kfuo@kfuo.org. Joining us in the Confession of Christ, we welcome back Pastor Peter Schmidt of Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Pastor Schmidt, welcome back to Concord Matters.
Thanks, President Finnern, and always my pleasure to be with you. And thank you to everyone who has taken the time to tune into KFUO and take advantage of our Synod's radio station.
Great. Well, let's dig in here, Pastor. This is a very important article as we look at the Apostles' Creed. Encourage our listeners to listen to last week's study with Dr. Jason Lane, as he gave a very broad overview of what we'd be looking at in the Apostles' Creed, the importance of confessing our faith, being to assert what we believe, because not because it's like we need to be bold in something that we have made up, but we're bold in God and what is given to us in Christ in the Word of God. So we follow that up as we look at God the Father. So we're on page 399 as we look at Article 1, and we'll begin with the note. Through His Word, God calls forth the words we speak back to Him. In this way, Luther says the entire creed is a response to the first commandment. Since God is the maker of heaven and earth, we realize that all that we are, all we will ever become, and all we possess depends entirely on our Creator. All He does for us, all He daily provides, indeed His warding off of dangers of every description, are merely part of His many blessings. For this reason, we are duty-bound to love, praise, thank, and devote to Him all the works set forth in the Ten Commandments. Luther laments how few people actually believe what the Creed teaches about our utter dependence on God. However, daily study of this article leads us to recognize God's fatherly and loving heart. We confess His greatest treasure for us in the second and third articles of the Creed. Pastor Schmidt, as we read this note and look at Article 1, start us off.
Well, let me use an analogy for those of you who like to go camping. One of the things that we often hear is you leave a place, you leave a campsite at least as good as it was when you came there, if not better, mm-hmm. right? And so the question some people always ask is why? After all, I'm paying for this site, whatever it would be. But it really comes down to love. If you are in a beautiful area and you just are enamored with the sheer beauty of the place, you don't want to mess it up. And then you also think in terms of someone's going to be able to enjoy this after me. And so I want them to enjoy it as much as I have. And so it really comes down to love. And as we think about this article, and we think about that we have this Creator God, so we have no other gods before Him. What a wonderful tie-in we have here with that first commandment. Okay, who is that God? Well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we begin with Almighty God saying, I'm your Father. I'm your loving Father. And I created you to be in this loving relationship with me. And in my love for you, not only have I created you to have all these different gifts and abilities, but this place that I've created for you to inhabit and to take care of, it also reflects my loving design, if you will. And so when we understand more and more about this God, who is this personal God of love, who created us to be in relationship with him, a loving relationship with him, but then also with each other. Oh man, we look at this world around us, we look at so many different things, and what a blessing. You know, it's like the psalmist so many times, he'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy, his steadfast love endures forever.
And how important it is. I love going back to the first article because it brings the reality of my everyday existence, and it brings me back to that truth. For example, as I record this, it's very easy for me to sit back and think, okay, let's go back down the list, all that I have to sustain this body and life. Okay, what do I have? And you just go down the list, and you thank God for your wife and thank God for your children. It's like he's encouraging us daily to have a Thanksgiving gathering. Because the beautiful thing about in our country to have a Thanksgiving Day, and as Christians, when we look at it faithfully, that we're able to actually stop and say, okay, what am I thankful here? And that's what the first article does. And then it acknowledges, I'm thankful for it. The piece that I think sometimes our culture misses is that that's all a gift from God. Therefore, if I just say I'm thankful for this, then that becomes my God, as opposed to saying I am thankful for the source of all of these things, which Luther does just a rock solid job of that today. And I'll say this, Pastor Schmidt, I got kind of nailed to the ground a few times when I read this. Like, well, wait a second here, am I a God? Do I see myself as a God? Wait a second, is that an idol now? What is going on? So I loved this article, and then at the same time, I didn't like this article very much. So it all comes back and brings us back to the truth of God's word. Any other thoughts before we dig in?
Well, I think what you just said there too, I mean, we can go months back when in April we have Earth Day or whatever. And, you know, for us as God's people, every day is Earth Day in the sense that we look again at this creation as a gift, and in our bodies as gifts, and everything we have as a gift. But it's so easy for people, if they lose sight of the idea of God being the creator, and maybe at best see God as deists may have seen him as just started everything, and there is this kind of God there somewhere, but he doesn't get personally involved in his creation anymore, and it's up to us to do this or that. Boy, when we look at God not only as our creator, but again as that father who is not a father who is far away from his children, but continues to interact and love with them. Man, we see everything, like you say, as that wonderful gift. And if I receive a gift, I give honor back by saying thank you, as opposed to thinking, oh, this is all what I've done, and it's all my responsibility. No, it's not. I mean, this is thanks living, which goes along, obviously, with Thanksgiving.
Very good. So let's dig in. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. We're on page 399. We begin with section 9 of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This shows and sets forth most briefly what is God the Father's essence, will, activity, and work. The Ten Commandments have taught that we are to have not more than one God. So it might be asked, what kind of person is God? What does he do? How can we praise or show and describe him that he may be known? Now, what is taught in this and in the following article, So the creed is nothing other than the answer and confession of Christians arranged with respect to the first commandment. It is as if you were to ask a little child, my dear, what sort of God do you have? What do you know about him? The child could say, This is my God, first the Father, who has created heaven and earth. Besides this one only, I regard nothing else as God, for there is no one else who could create heaven and earth. Pastor Schmidt, Luther right away makes a very clear connection to the first commandment and to the first article, and makes a very clear need for us to confess this clearly. How do you want to begin as we look at this article?
Well, perhaps if we just even think about, I believe in God the Father Almighty. So anyone who's going to believe in a God is going to look at that God as something which is higher than he or she, something that is powerful. And here we have God Almighty, all-powerful. But then he also identifies himself in the Holy Scriptures as Father. And as Luther, you know, later on and would talk about in the commandments, the fourth commandment about honoring mom and dad and things like this, this, again, relational view of this Father who cares for his children. And so we don't, again, just have a generic, you shall have no other gods. All right, great. Who is God? Who is this God that I want to fear, love, and trust above all things? We start out with that family relationship again, this God who wants us to be in relationship with him. And I love the way he said that, just, you know, like a little child. My dear, what sort of God is it that you have? What do you know about him? The child's response, this is God. This is my God. First, the Father. And then he goes on with creation. So talk to me a little bit, President Finneran, about the importance of that Father also connected with creation, because that's kind of a hot button item for some people as far as, you know, can we believe in a God and still believe in like evolution or whatever it would be? What do you think?
Well, you're bringing it back to me. I'm not used to this, Pastor Schmidt. it reminds me of this. There's parts of the state of Minnesota, specifically the beautiful parts, which I would put in the North Shore. You can go to the north of Lake Superior, Duluth, and north of there. My family goes there almost every year. Actually, we do go there every year and hike and just love that part of our state, our beloved state. And one of the comments that was made by a wonderful Christian friend of mine was, you go up there and you can't help but marvel at the beauty of this creation. The problem is twofold. One, the people there who really get into this have a tendency to worship creation versus the Creator, which I think he hits that very well in an article today. And so we have to always be aware of that, is to be able to look at it through the lens of faith in Christ and his redemption, and faith in a triune God, and to be able to look at that very clearly, because I've seen it over and over again that people get hyped up about creation, and then they eventually start thinking that they are the keeper of all things. So that's my encouragement to our listeners, is as he speaks about this, you might be, and I personally, might be closer to this whole idolatry issue that Luther is speaking about than I realize. And so that calls us to repentance of, okay, am I looking at creation in itself as the end, or am I looking at the Creator who gives me all things, and he's a source of all good things? Those are my first thoughts.
Oh, yeah. And that whole idea of just this wondrous design. And I think as we, you know, continue to be blessed with more and more scientific knowledge, if you will, about biology and how complex life is in the various different forms. And then to think back and go in a positive sense, my God, how is this? How did you do this? And then in awe and wonder, maybe like if you're up there in the North Shore or whatever, and the Northern Lights, you know, are out, and you just see the spectacular display, and you step back and go, what a wondrous God who not only created all of this, but designed us so that we can appreciate beauty and we can appreciate the gifts and always give thanks to the giver. You know, so for instance, if I have a grandparent who gives a kid, when the kid is very young, some sort of higher education savings bond or whatever it would be. You know, the kid at the age of 5 is not going to appreciate that. But then when the kid gets to college and all of a sudden there's a big chunk of tuition that is paid because of this investment, now the child has grown up and matured to the point where I can appreciate this a lot more. And I think for us, as we continue to grow, being able to grow up in Christian households where we've been taught this is who God is. And then as we get older and are able to understand more and more about his creation, we understand more and more also about the love of the Creator and the wonder of how he takes care of us. I mean, here where we have a school, and I don't know if you can hear in the background, you know, the kids are outside at recess, and inevitably someone's going to probably get a scraped knee or something and comes in for a Band-Aid. The amazing design of a loving father so that skin can scab up and be healed, you know, that way. And as we get older, we can appreciate that more and more. But as we start already at a young age, just showing here's your father's love for you. This is how he's created things to not only you can be taken care of in ways like even skin scabbing, but also just the marvelous design of things that are around us that he uses to take care of us each day. The older we get, at least for me, the more phenomenal it is as you just step back in appreciation.
And I love the connection, which obviously is the connection to the small catechism at the very end on section 11, where he brings it back to teaching the simplicity of this to children, where he said the child could say, "This is my God, first the Father who has created heaven and earth. Besides this one only, I regard nothing else as God, for there's no one else who could create heaven and earth." And just think about how profound of a statement that is when, you know, you're teaching confirmation or others, and a child or younger even, and you see this in your school, that they're able to say, "This is my God. He created all things. I'm a gift from God." This is a powerful right. statement, and no one else could ever do this. And what joy there is, not only for us as adults, but obviously for children as well, because there's a sense of security in that and identity as one.
Well, I think that's it. That word identity is huge, mm-hmm. right? We're not here by accident. Mm. And we have this identity as the forgiven, redeemed child of God. And you just stop there. It's like, I'm a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And as he does such a great job in this article, kind of, it's almost like, hey, this is really great, but just wait till we get to the next article about Jesus and then the Holy Spirit and how the Trinity just, you know, wondrously works together for our good, for our salvation.
Anything else you want to highlight in those first few sections?
No, I probably talked way too much as it was, so go ahead.
Let's get moving on. We're at page 399. We'll continue on section 12 into page 400. But for the learned and those who are somewhat advanced, these are three articles may be expanded and divided into many parts as there are words. But now for young scholars, let it suffice to make the most necessary points, as we have said that this article refers to the creation. We emphasize the word creator of heaven and earth. But what is the force of this, or what do you mean by these words? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Answer, this is what I mean and believe, that I am God's creature. I mean that he has given and constantly preserves me for my body, soul, and life, my members, great and small, all my senses, reason, and understanding, and so on. He gives me food and drink, clothing and support, wife and children, domestic servants, house and home, and more. Besides, he causes all created things to serve for the uses and necessities of life. These include the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens, day and night, air, fire, water, earth, and whatever it bears and produces. They include birds and fish, beasts, grain, and all kinds of produce. They also include whatever else there is for bodily and temporal good, like good government, peace, and security. So we learn from this article that none of us owns for himself, nor can preserve, his life, nor anything that is here listed or can be listed. This is true no matter how small and unimportant a thing might be, for it's all included in the word creator. So it's almost like Luther goes back thinking about the small catechism and saying, I better rehash this once again and go through it scripturally so that people know what it means to have a creator. And what does Luther tell us?
I think, again, this idea of everything we have has a source. And when it comes from the hand of this loving Father, he created us. Well, it's kind of, you know, remember like in Luke's account where Jesus talks about which of your dads, if your kids asks for, you know, bread, we'll give him a rock instead or whatever it would be. And then he ends up saying, look, you, though you are evil, though you are sinful, know how to give good things to your kids. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And this idea of this Father who loves to give good things, who has designed everything for good. And I think the challenge is when we forget about the Creator and we think that, you know, we're the center of everything. As soon as we become the center of everything, it's very easy for us to abuse things, to use things just for our own good, as opposed to receiving things in love and using things, being good stewards of things to show our love for this Creator and having, again, this wonder at this marvelous design and what a privilege we have of being able to then be stewards of all the things that God has given us, wanting to use them wisely.
So, Pastor, you've been a pastor for a number of years, and you've gone through the first article and confirmation and Bible study and everything. You've had many Thanksgiving Eve or Thanksgiving Day services. Luther, I think, gives us some guidance here of how to look at the world and to see it faithfully. Any advice that you have for our listeners on how to be able to think about creation and making sure that we continue to worship the Creator in our daily vocations?
So again, I know I keep bringing up the word gift, if you will, but when you've been given a precious gift, you treat it with the dignity, the respect, the love that it deserves. And at least for me, one of the things that goes along with it is you realize who gave you the gift. And that this person gave you a gift, not because, oh, it's like an office party and we're supposed to bring something, you know, for Christmas or whatever, but because I really thought about you and what I know you really like and what would be really special for you. And so I'm giving this to you. And you receive that and you say, oh, man, this is fantastic. And every time you see the person, you want to say thank you again and again and again. And you also want to tell the person, hey, that gift you gave me, oh, man, you know, I love this. So, okay, so let's just, you know, we're getting toward, you know, winter's not going to be too far away for some of us. And let's say I like to ice skate. And so I need a new pair of skates. And so let's say my wife sees this pair of skates she knows I want. But she also knows that, you know, the family budget, you know, whatever. So I'm thinking there's no way I'm ever going to get these skates. Well, here comes Christmas. I open up the package and there is this gift of skates. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, really? And so we go out skating and I just have this big beaming smile. And I'm telling her again and again, these are better than I was even anticipating. Thank you. And every time we go, it's constantly, oh, man, thank you so much for giving me these skates. So I'm using them, but I realize from whom they have come and the love behind that gift. And so I give all thanks and praise back there. In the same way, we think about our Lord, everything coming from the Creator, this is nothing I've done. This is all part of his design, his wondrous gift giving And when I realize more and more about who this God is and his amazing love and patience with me and grace and mercy, wow, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And help me to use, I just want to use these things and enjoy them knowing all the time they're from you. And so now I can interact again back in my worship, in my prayer life, filled with thanksgiving. So I don't know if that was the best analogy in the world, but, you know.
Well, I don't skate, so I'm not, if my wife got me skates, I would not be so thankful when I got them. However, many people would be. So, but we need to take our break. We are confessing the scriptural truth of God the Father from the Apostles' Creed as confessed in Luther's Large Catechism. We'll be right back.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.
Welcome back. We are confessing the scriptural truth of God the Father from the Apostles' Creed in Luther's Large Catechism with Pastor Peter Schmidt from Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, something I want to encourage our listeners before we move on, as Pastor has said so well, is that thankfulness for something that comes because it's all a gift. And this obviously goes back to the gift that we have in Christ. That we talk about this often, and Pastor Schmidt and I have talked about it often too, is that the gifts of Christ that you receive in the divine service. And from that lens of seeing the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation that's forever, that Luther will get to in the second article more clearly, we are able to go on our daily vocations and see, like he has said so well, that when I go and eat, that's a gift, clothing and support. Well, you know what? We look to Christ again and say, thank you for this, wife and children, domestic. Life is full of opportunities to give thanks. Sometimes we're able to do it more clearly and more joyfully. Sometimes it's a little more of a difficult time when we're struggling with different things. But ultimately, we're able to see it all through the lens of faith and to see it all as a gift. And then there's, like we've said so far, there's a fine line of how quickly we can make that our God instead of the God himself. So another thing I wanted to reflect on a little bit here, Pastor, is there's a lot that we say in such a short portion of the Creed. We say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that is a profound statement. We are saying that there is no other creator. We are saying that this is all God's, which kind of makes, I would say, the American spirit a little bit frustrated with that. Because we want a little bit of the piece of the pie here, a little bit of the credit as we look at what he is saying. So any thoughts on that and the profoundness of just saying those simple words?
I think anytime you go like on a nature hike through a state park or a national park and you see the little signs that talk about, you know, it took X amount of years for all of this to develop, and you start hearing that, oh, creation kind of created itself in some ways, and it takes away the personal aspect from it. And then you also think about we as human beings, in the name of progress or whatever, have sometimes tried to alter what the Creator, our Father, has designed, and what we try to alter often doesn't work out real well. And so for us to step back in humility and realize that there is this wondrous design to things, and the wondrous design is from a God who creates this and then steps back and in the creation account, it was good. Evening, morning, no, day one, day two, whatever. But just again, this remarkable order from things. And to step back and to have this God, this Father, who is doing things in loving thought as opposed to just randomly throwing things together and say, it's the best we can do. So again, you know, thinking a couple of months for Christmas, and if you are already thinking about, you know, Christmas shopping and things like that, there are some people who are really good at putting a lot of thought into that. And there are other people that's like, shoot, it's December 24th, Christmas Eve day. I better go out and get something, otherwise I'll be in trouble. You know, we have this loving Father who has thought everything out, humanly speaking, and has thought it out, motivated in love, so that we who are created to live in love with Him and with our neighbor can appreciate these things. And again, realize, man, what a tremendous gift this is.
What is the challenge for the Christian as we look at all that He has given to us, as it speaks about loving God and loving others? What encouragement do you have for our listeners to be able to utilize these gifts from the Creator to His glory in people's daily vocations?
I think, again, we talk about, you know, the devil, the world, and our sinful self. And one of the things that I have the privilege of teaching religion and history with our 7th and 8th graders in our school, and one of my recurring mantras is there's a huge difference between treating a person as an object and treating a person as a person. And when we are self-centered in our sinfulness, you know, like a little s and a little n, and right in the middle is a big fat capital I in sin, when we're self-centered, we tend to treat people as objects, and we think about they're there really for us. What can we get out of them? In our sinfulness, we can do the same thing with our gifts from God and think in terms of, oh man, I am so special in the sense that I have all this stuff. It's all about me, and my motivation for using things is just so I'm happy. Well, that's the way of sinfulness and self-centeredness. Instead, when we think in terms of, I've been given the great joy of being a steward of these wonderful gifts of God to be able to share with others and share with others that you too are a result of God's loving, creative design. And you too can have this wonderful identity as the child of God. So it's not all about you. It's about Him and His loving care for you, and how in Jesus he's brought us into this marvelous family, and all these things that we've been blessed with, wonderful gifts, when they are working the way they were designed and our sinfulness doesn't get in the way of things, oh man, how this world is designed to work in love, and how instead of treating people as objects, we treat them as people, and then want to use the gifts around us to truly love God by also then loving our neighbor as ourself.
Let's go to the next part where we give thanks for the things that we do not see, which is, we're on page 400, beginning in section 17. Further, we also confess that God the Father has not only given us all that we have and set before our eyes, but He daily preserves and defends us against all evil and misfortune. He directs all sorts of danger and disaster away from us. We confess that He does all this out of pure love and goodness without any merit as a kind Father. He cares for us so that no evil falls upon us. But to speak more about this belongs in the other two parts of this article, where we say, Father Almighty. So here He makes a slight move for us to be able to consider not only, okay, He has given us all things, the creation, but He also protects us, much like when we pray in the morning and evening prayer that your holy angel be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us, that His protecting wings surrounds us and He protects us every single day. Why is that important, Pastor?
Because we're often oblivious to to so many things around us. It would be like, you know, again, maybe a poor analogy, but I think all of you who are listening to this as husbands will appreciate it. You open up the refrigerator, you're looking for something, I can't find it. Your wife comes along and says, honey, it's right there in front of you. because if you would just move that milk carton away, you would see it. Yeah. We're so oblivious to how God in his love cares for us and protects us from so many things. When bad things happen, immediately our sinfulness is, why did you allow this to happen? But we miss so often how God, again, as you quoted from that prayer. And then if you look at, for instance, the explanation section in the small catechism, where it talks about angels being created beings and how the Lord would minister to us through them and protect us from so many things. Just being able to say, thank you, Lord, or actually teaching our kids too, when bad things look like they're happening. So let's say you have a big storm rolling in or something, and to be able to say, you know what, we're going to pray about this, and we are going to ask our Lord for his protection and his guidance, and to train young ones in terms of, oh man, we have this Father who, again, doesn't treat us from a distance, but does want to care for us and preserve us and protect us. That's not a God from a distance. That's a true dad. You know, it's Abba Father, this daddy who wants to care for us and enjoys caring for us.
I think about this too, where often, you know, we pray that, and Luther connects this very well with his morning and evening prayer. And we're reminded in Scripture to speak about the, you know, in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy, that image of a bird, an eagle, a mother hen, protecting her flock. And that's the image of God that we have. That the hard part is, you never see it. Like, you often will never see how he protects us from these things. There's small ways, like that moment you almost, you know, hit someone with your car and you don't even know how it happened that you didn't, or a car almost hits you, or you almost fall off the side of when you're hiking or something, or you almost fall and someone catches you. Those kind of things we do see, but there's so much of it we do not. And that's what's so hard to say, thank you, Lord, for protecting me, when I start to think, well, I took those classes and driver's training. That's why I'm safe. I did this. I'm smarter than that guy over there who got into an accident, or you know, I have family members that they seem to always fall and hurt themselves. Well, I don't do that. That means I'm stronger. I'm in better shape, or something along those lines. And we forget about God's protection every single day. And now I'm reminded, Pastor, that this is something I should pray about every night with my kids. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me this day, and Lord, continue to do so. Your thoughts?
Well, I think trying to just change the vocabulary from lucky to blessed, right? And, you know, granted, I'm getting older, so my memory might be fading a little bit, but in the Large Catechism, where Luther talks in his second commandment about taking God's name in vain and giving God credit, you know, when the good things happen, and also giving credit to the evil one, if you will, when the bad things happen in that. But just, again, getting out of this idea of, oh, I was so lucky. No, you weren't. You were very blessed. You're very blessed that, and I receive things as blessings, including that protection and care. And even that one line, we talk so often about the sins that we confess, that sins we don't even know we committed, but we must have. So, you know, we confess those things too. The same thing with the protection and the different blessings we have during the day. Many of them we didn't even see. But thank you, Lord. We greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Very good. And I like how he emphasizes he daily preserves us. This is not a occasional time. It is a constant, as we know of Jesus being our Emmanuel. He constantly defends us from all evil and misfortune because, you know, the devil is like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. And that's a part I think we miss a little bit in our culture as well. Pastor, can you tell us a little bit about the reality of the devil and his works and his ways?
So I think when we think about the devil, sometimes we, you know, go immediately to the sensationalized accounts. And there are indeed demonic possessions and things like that. But the evil one, not only in the basic temptations of trying to get us off of God's road to trespass, to go where he doesn't where God doesn't want us to be because it's off the road of love. But it is also true that the evil one just enjoys tearing down. So if we have a God that loves building up and encourage, loving and supporting, the evil one who rebelled against him loves tearing all of that down and loves tearing us down. So yeah, the reality of spiritual warfare, if you will, the evil one is going to do whatever he can to try to plague us. But you know what a beautiful example again of this loving God that we see in Jesus, you know, who takes on flesh and blood, and you know, Peter who denies the Lord, and Jesus told him, look, you're gonna do this. But he also had told him, Simon, the evil one wants to sift you all like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And this wondrous God who is much greater. And again, this loving father. So, I mean, again, maybe a poor analogy, but my son happens to play baseball at Concordia University, Wisconsin. And when he has an opportunity to play there or play in a summer league game or whatever it would be, and I'm there, and he's up to plate and he's ready to hit, he tells me, you know, my prayer life greatly increases when I'm playing here because I want a calm spirit. I want to do my best. As a parent, I'm watching that. I'm doing the same. And if I'm doing that as a dad in a baseball game, how phenomenal is it that in the scriptures, we not only have this picture of the Creator being our Father, but we have this picture of Jesus, the very Son of God, interceding for us. And what is he doing in those intercessions? Also, the reality of the evil one trying to tear things down, that roaring lion looking for someone to devour, we have this God who is much greater. And this God who knows how to protect us, how to bring us through that darkest of valleys and keep us with and ultimately get us to heaven.
And like you said so well about the intercessory reality is that not only we know that he will protect us even without our prayers. We know this from the Lord's Prayer petitions, but that we pray that it may be done among us also, that he invites us to pray, Lord, protect me from this. And he gives that peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, help me with this. Yes, he knows, but he invites us in that relationship, as you mentioned, as ones redeemed by Christ, to talk to him, to ask him, and knowing that when we pray to him, he's different than even an earthly father or most loving earthly father in history. He is one that actually wants the best for his children, and he does so in a perfect way. And so it really is a very humbling thing. And at the same time, I like how you said this too, is that the devil is not at the same level as God.
Right.
The devil is simply like, he's like a Rottweiler on a chain. You know, yes, he's dangerous. Yes, there's problematic. But you know what? God is the one who is still in control. And so that's something we always have to remember too, especially with all the movies and shows that portray the devil and God kind of in a battle and depends on the day who wins. We know that Christ has had the victory. And so it's good to remind us of that and come to him again in word and prayer. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, and like the demons know that and shudder, you know, and to keep that in mind. And so what I've found, you know, over my 35 years of being a pastor is the people that, you know, continue to walk with the Lord, when they get to that point in life where they are walking through that dark valley, they have cultivated that whole communication with God and that whole idea of, you know, also in interacting with God and listening to the scriptures again, thinking in terms of, oh man, you know, I'm hurting now and this is a difficult situation. But when I think about all my Lord Jesus went through on the cross for me, this is nothing. And so they're constantly thinking about being in this communion, this fellowship. Again, we don't just have a creator, which we do obviously, a personal creator, but one who is so personally, lovingly involved in our lives that we even have the ability to have that constant communication with him. You know, my dad has been in heaven for, you know, a long time now. But there are still days where I wish, oh man, Dad, what advice would you give me here? Or whatever. What a joy to be able to have this perfect Heavenly Father that I can come to through my Lord Jesus and say, Dad, I need help. You know, give me wisdom through your Spirit. Help me to understand what you're saying here through the Scriptures. Help me to apply this, you know, in the best possible way. And then to just have that constant assurance that where I go, my Lord is right there with me. You know, so again, like David says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. And then your rod and staff. So I have this God who also is beating off the evil one for me. What a wondrous assurance.
And that's why we say at the end of that section, Father Almighty. That's why we say that. Yep. We have a Father Almighty. Let's continue on. We're on section 19 on page 400. Now all that we have and whatever else is in heaven and upon the earth is daily given, preserved, and kept for us by God. Therefore, it is clearly suggested and concluded that it is our duty to love, praise, and thank Him for all these things without ceasing. In short, we should serve Him with all things, as He demands, and has taught in the Ten Commandments. We could say much here if we were to wonder about how few people believe this article, for we all pass over it, hear it, and say it, yet we do not see or consider what the Word teaches us. For if we believe the teaching with the heart, we would also act according to it. We would not strut about proudly, act defiantly, and boast as though we had life, riches, power, honor, and such of ourselves. We would not act as though others must fear and serve us, as is the practice of the wretched, perverse world. The world is drowned in blindness and abuses, all the good things and God's gifts only for its own pride, greed, lust, and luxury, and never once thinks about God so as to thank Him or acknowledge Him as Lord and Creator. This article ought to humble and terrify us all if we believed it. For we daily sin with eyes, ears, hand, body, and soul, money and possessions, with everything we have. This is especially true of those who fight against God's Word. Yet Christians have this advantage. They acknowledge that they are duty-bound to serve God for all these things and to be obedient to Him. Now, Pastor, with all that our Lord gives us, what is our duty and responsibility to God with all these gifts?
You know, the small catechism, again, for all of this, it is our duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey. Our altar guild has those four words put on banners that we have hung from our rafters in our sanctuary this time of year as we're looking forward to, you know, Thanksgiving next month and everything. It's just a marvelous reminder. But when you think about Adam and Eve, the whole idea, when we hear about duty, you know, we almost think, oh, it's so law-based and we have to do it. And sometimes we want to rebel against what we have to do. But when you think about how they were created in this image of God, which they had perfectly until sin, they knew who God is. They knew what He wanted them to do. And then here's the key. They just naturally enjoyed doing it. And so we're designed, we're naturally created, if you will, to follow that thanks, praise, serving, obeying. Not because we have to, but because that's who we are. And so then when you look at the work of God, the Holy Spirit, as being our sanctifier, working in us just that natural desire to thank and praise and serve and obey, because this is who we are. And this is who Jesus was as this perfect human being here on this earth, besides being fully God. And so we watch how He lived this life, this perfect example of being human. And so we do that too. We follow Him. And it makes life a lot more enjoyable when we're constantly saying thank you instead of grousing and complaining about everything. As if we have a right to complain about stuff. Who are we to say to God, oh, you should have done this or that? Us in our sinfulness, we're able to say to Him, oh, yeah, you should have done this or that for me instead. Now it's being a spoiled brat.
And it's a good reminder for all of us. And sometimes we have to be told this, which is why it says this article ought to humble and terrify us all if we believed it.
Yes.
What do you mean I believe it? Of course I believe in God. And like, well, are you actually living that way? So to you, our listeners, repent for Pastor and I. Repent and go receive the forgiveness from your pastor tomorrow as we look to the Reformation, as we look to a wonderful time in the church here, knowing that our Lord is indeed gracious on account of the cross of Jesus. So, Pastor, let's finish off this first article with sections 23 and 24 on pages 400 to 401. We ought therefore daily to recite this article. We ought to impress it upon our mind and remember it by all that meets our eyes and by all good that falls to us. Wherever we escape from disaster or danger, we ought to remember that it is God who gives and does all these things. In these escapes, we sense and see his fatherly heart and his surpassing love toward us. In this way, the heart would be warmed and kindled to be thankful and to use all such good things to honor and praise God. We have most briefly presented the meaning of this article. This is how much is necessary at first for the most simple to learn about what we have, what we receive from God, and what we owe in return. This is a most excellent knowledge, but a far greater treasure. For here we see how the Father has given himself to us, together with all creatures, and has most richly provided for us in this life. We see that he has overwhelmed us with unspeakable eternal treasures by his Son and the Holy Spirit, as we shall hear. So I think he ends it very nicely to keep this on our hearts every day to recite this article. So Pastor, with about a few minutes left in our time today, kind of wrap this all together. Why it's important for us, our listeners, and for you and I, to keep this article on our lips, on our hearts, and our ears daily.
Well, psychologists will tell us that thankful people are happier people, which kind of goes back and shows us again the design in creation to realize everything comes from the hand of this loving God. And to thank and in wonder and awe, who am I that you would think of me this way? But then it comes back to, as soon as I forget that and the world becomes centered around me, I start using things and abusing things simply for my effort and for my gratification, as opposed to living in this marvelous design of love and centering it all on the Lord. So as we keep going back to this article, we think about maybe unexpected blessings we see in the course of the day, and we go from luck to blessing, and we receive things with thanksgiving. We thank, we praise, and we want to serve and obey just in thanksgiving to this wondrous God.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Pastor Peter Schmidt of Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Waukesha, Wisconsin, confessing the truth of God the Father from the Apostles' Creed as confessed in Luther's Large Catechism. Pastor Schmidt, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Pastor Brady Fenner, and thank you for joining us. And the Lord keep you safe in the palm of his hand.